Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Well, Joan, we start again.
We start again, and in all fairness to our listeners, we must say that this week we're taping this a bit early. You'll be hearing this over the weekend. You should be hearing us talk about the consistory, but it hasn't yet taken place, the consistory to name new cardinals, which is why it will not be the top subject on our new show this week. We can't talk about something that hasn't happened.
Because so many of the cardinals are actually in transit to Rome as we're recording this.
They are. They're in transit, and a lot of their family and friends, huge groups are coming Thursday. And I think a lot of people will be here Thursday, of course, in America's Thanksgiving. So that's a day when, if you want to leave the United States, it's like, oh, my goodness, let's see if I can have my turkey at noon and catch a 6 o'clock flight to Rome or something like that. But the cardinals themselves will want to be in town for Friday, because we must mention that Friday the Pope is having a meeting. It's estimated that about 150 of the 200 members of the College of Cardinals will be, or is it 201, will be in Rome for this meeting with the Pope. In the morning, they're going to discuss ecumenism, all behind closed doors, of course, and then in the afternoon, any subjects that are dear to their hearts or that they feel is very urgent for the church to discuss. So we'll learn about that afterwards. I remember the last one that Benedict had with all the College of Cardinals, and it was a wonderful exercise, of course, in collegiality. And they talked about Islam. They talked about the Society of Pius X and the liturgical changes in Vatican Council II. And it's interesting, we've seen a little bit of the outcome of that in the Latin Mass, which we knew the Pope was going to broaden the use, the access, if you will, to Latin Mass for people. So perhaps part of what they talked about exactly 20 months ago. They met on March 23rd. 2006, and they're meeting November 23rd on 2007. So 20 months to the day.
And actually, since the dates of the consistory were announced, there have actually been two cardinals who have died, because there was Cardinal Kosliecki as well and Cardinal Hamau.
And I know Cardinal Hamau was 77, so he was in the age to vote. He was under 80, so he was a potential voter. So what we're going to have, Cardinal Sodano's birthday, he turns 80, the former Secretary of State. He turns 80 on Saturday. So his age will remove him from the category of cardinals who can vote. So what it's going to work out to with his birthday and then the death of Cardinal Hamau, the cardinal voters will be the exact number of 120, which is the ceiling that Pope Paul VI set many years ago for the elector cardinals, the under 80 age cardinals. So no, it's going to be a huge weekend here, two big ceremonies. And by the time our listeners are listening to us, they're going to know what the ceremonies are, so we won't go into that.
Because the new cardinals will be having all their families and friends wanting to be there as well, because it's not every day that a member of your family is made a cardinal.
No, and you know, Cardinal DiNardo, Daniel DiNardo, the Archbishop of Galveston, Houston, he has a twin sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? It's a great, great story. He's a lovely, lovely gentleman, and of course, you know, was here in the Curia years ago. It'd be fun just to do all the interesting details about each of the lives of the new cardinals, five of whom are over the age of 80, by the way.
But talking of 80 and over, the Pontifical Council for Healthcare has just been looking at the care of the elderly.
They had a wonderful conference. It meant a great deal to me, obviously, with my mother who died this year, having been ill, so many of us taking care of her, and that's how my vacations were, and wouldn't have traded it for the world. I really have to say that. And I know there's many people who are out there and take care of the elderly in the home now. We're not talking about a hospital or something like that, but there are many people that take care of the elderly night and day, their parents and so forth, and it can be a huge drain. And when the Pope was talking to this group, He asked the question, does the existence of a human being in a very precarious state because of age or infirmity still have meaning? Because there are people who say, well, they can't contribute to society. So they're putting everything on a bottom line, if you will. And he said, why, when the challenge of sickness becomes so dramatic, should we not accept euthanasia as a form of liberation? And, of course, obviously then he said human life is a gift from God, which we are called to protect at all times. We protect human life for the born, the unborn, the elderly, the very, very ill. So he pointed to something. I thought this was so well worded. He, in noting how today's efficiency-oriented mentality considers elderly sick people a burden and a problem for society, he said what they really need is understanding, comfort, encouragement, accompaniment, and above all, families. And I thought this was quite lovely. Families should welcome their sick elderly members and look after them with loving gratitude. You know, what if we're talking about parents? What have our parents done for us? Most of us can't even find a way to thank parents for what they did for us.
Well, not only that, the elderly, even if they can't do too much that's going to rock the boat in society, nothing stops them loving right till the end. And this
exactly.
world needs love.
Well, I think of the little grandkids, even the big grandkids, who when they would be around Mom come last Christmas and come in the summertime or whatever, her stories. And the kids would talk about the lessons they learned from her. And they find it wonderful to go back into the past and, wow, she lived in 1920, you know, that kind of stuff, which is not real to anybody who's only 20. But the lessons that can be learned. And I overheard my nieces and nephews, the older ones, talking precisely about that. So that was Mom's, and that's the contribution. And that's the contribution of many moms and dads.
I will introduce here, I know it's not Vatican, but it's on the theme. This is a true story from when I was in Zambia, because there was a woman in the village who died. Now, I say she was probably 107, because it sounds odd if I say that she was actually probably around 115. She was baptized in 1900. And she thought she was about 15 then. And the baptismal records are there in the church. She should have been about 115 when she died. And until she was 97, she fetched her own water every day from the tap in the village. She also did all her own cooking. And when she heard that her daughter was about to retire, this old lady cleared a patch of ground and grew pumpkins and groundnuts. And groundnuts is very heavily labour-intensive. And when she was actually dying, in the village there was a tradition that when somebody very old or very important was dying, they had a huge drum that was beaten. And the sound of the drum would go right across the swamps. It would carry for miles. Now, this drum was the size of a big oil drum. Anyway, when she was dying, her relative sent somebody to the next village to bring this drum. They got it. And she opened her eyes and said, "What have you bought that for? I'm not dying yet." And she lived another few hours.
Oh, okay, good. I was thought you could say a few years or something else like that. But
she was amazing.
Well, if we would learn to look at any of our elderly and certainly the sick as a wonderful resource, like you said, for loving, for giving, for sharing,
and
for the
praying
storytelling.
For us.
Oh, sure. I get very upset with friends who don't tell me that they've got someone in their family who's sick. I said, you don't have to look for pity. I said, I'll pray for that person. So anyway, but it was a great conference, and I think the words that were said needed to be said. And of course that was Saturday. Sunday we had the Angelus, the Holy Father. There's been a lot of hot spots and problem spots in the world this past week, and We heard the Pope express his condolences to the people of Bangladesh for the cyclone that they had experienced a few days earlier. And, of course, it's caused above 3,500 victims right now. And there's still millions that had to be helped. Very serious damages to homes and towns and coastlines and everything else. And then he did send a telegram also for the mine disaster in Ukraine.
Yes, it's so just been tragic.
And then also on Sunday, though, going back a few days here, he also spoke about a conference that was taking place in Jordan, the 8th Assembly of Signatories, the states who are signatories to the, and this is a long title, Convention on the Prohibition of the Use, Stockpiling, Production, and Transfer of Anti-Personnel Mines and Their Destruction. And, of course, he noted that the Holy See, we've heard about this for years, the Holy See is one of the principal promoters of this convention, and he very simply said that he hoped for the success of the conference so that landmines, which continue to reap victims, including many children, may be completely banned. So a very important plea there, if you will, a plea for the countries to get together. And there's many countries that haven't signed, and it's really kind of a shame. Why on earth? I just don't understand the politics. Maybe I'm naive, of a country that would not sign a convention to ban landmines. And I know we're getting to the end of the show. I just want to mention, I think it behooves us to mention two more things. One, very briefly, for the American people. The Archbishop of the Military Ordinariate, Edwin O'Brien, was named Archbishop of Baltimore in July. And so the post of military ordinary has been vacant. But the Pope, it's considered to be rather rapid with which the speed with which he moved to fill that. And he did name Archbishop Timothy Broglio, who was the nuncio in the Dominican Republic and also had worked for years in the Secretary of State here. He was Secretary to Cardinal Sodano's Secretary of State. He was named as the new military ordinary. So that's very good news for our country, and the Holy Father did move very quickly on that. One other big talk this week was the bishops of Kenya, who were in Rome for their ad limina. The Pope focused almost his entire talk to them on the institution of marriage and the family. And he said, you know, this precious treasure must be guarded at all costs. And he said, all too often, the ills besetting some parts of African society, such as promiscuity, polygamy, the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, they can be directly related to disordered notions of marriage and family life. When that could be said, I think, for a few other societies. And then, of course, he said, the globalized secular culture, he said, it's really, I'm concerned about it, it's expressing an increasing influence on local communities as a result of campaigns by agencies promoting abortion. And then unequivocally, he said, you know, for the nth time, the direct destruction of an innocent human life can never be justified, however difficult the circumstances that may lead some to consider taking such a grave step. And he said, when you preach the gospel of life, remind your people that the right to life of every innocent human being, born or unborn, is absolute and applies to all people equally, with no exceptions whatsoever. And he closed with words in talking about this abortion issue. He said, the Catholic community must offer support to those women who may find it difficult to accept a child, above all when they're isolated from family and friends. And he said, the community should be open to welcoming back all who repent of having participated in the grave sin of abortion.
On that note,
I think we have to close. Our time just runs away from us, but next week we'll bring you the joyful news of the new princess of the church.
Hopefully, yes. God bless.